Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio two people who apparently have traveled a long way, because they live, as I understand, almost out of Alaska, down in Ketchikan. Michelle O'Brien and Dave Dixon, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Michelle, you're the full-fledged governor of this district.
Correct.
Tell us what that means, because there may be some listeners out there that do not know what that means.
Well, so most people know Rotary because you have a Rotary Club in your community, and you know that they're very active in making things happen in the community. And so many of our communities around Alaska have, if not one, several Rotary Clubs. So that's how people know it. But our district is actually comprised of many, many Rotary Clubs. And so our district is what encompasses all of Alaska and the Yukon Territory. And we have 40 clubs. We just added one more down in Juneau. So we're at 40. And we also have an e-club, and they meet exclusively online.
Okay. And the membership for that is probably scattered.
We have members all over the world in the e-club. And the next president is actually going to be from Wisconsin.
Oh, so they could belong to the e-club but not be here physically in Alaska.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, it's great. And, you know, it's really convenient for people that travel a whole lot,
mm-hmm.
or people that just want, they don't want to necessarily go to a quote-unquote brick-and-mortar Rotary Club.
Right.
And so they, you know, most of our e-clubs around the world have, you know, you could get online with an e-club and there would be people from South America, Europe, the United States and beyond sitting there at this Rotary meeting.
Okay. Then let's go on with what brings you to Palmer, Alaska? How many clubs, I've lost track, are there in the valley here?
So there's four clubs in the valley, but there's also something that's called a Rotaract Club. And a Rotaract Club is like a younger version of Rotary.
Right.
And typically, in this area at least, it's the college age, you know, young professionals that are in the Rotaract Club.
Got it. Okay.
So four very, very active clubs, I might add, in the valley.
What got you into Rotary?
Like most people, it was a chance invitation from a client of mine. When we were stationed in upstate New York, someone said, hey, how about you come to a Rotary Club meeting? And I said, oh, okay. And I thought it was like this, I don't know, Chamber of Commerce on steroids type thing.
Right.
And ended up being very, very surprised. And I've been in Rotary for 18 years.
18.
So I was pretty young when I joined, but I was really surprised, you know, because people were really friendly and welcoming. And, you know, that certainly wasn't my hometown in upstate New York. And
so what I've noticed from time to time in a variety of media, even in, it might be a TV show, there'd be some reference to Rotary with a kind of a stereotype of what, well, he or she couldn't do that because they look like a Rotary person or something. You know.
You know what? I just read two books recently, and I turned to Dave and I said, oh, my gosh, they talk about this guy or this gal in these
right.
books. And he or she was a member of the Rotary Club and, you know, way back when. And you're absolutely right, because for years and years, it was all this kind of this image of these stuffed suit kind of guys sitting around writing checks, having these secret lunches. And that is not what Rotary is. It has completely changed. Women actually play a large part in Rotary
right.
In today's world. And
when you say large part, how large is large?
Well, so there's 1.2 million Rotarians all over the world.
Okay.
And so here in Alaska and the Yukon, we have over 1,700 Rotarians, and at least half of them are women.
Wow, that's a significant change.
It's a significant change. Now, that's here in our district. You know, so those numbers of percentages of women may be very, very different in, say, like in India or South America or something like that.
Okay. Now, you've talked a lot. Maybe this is time for a few words from Dave.
Good morning. Yes.
Speak, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh, well, as she was talking, I was thinking that my experience is a little different. I've only been in Rotary just shy of 2 years now.
Okay.
And in one aspect, it was very much the same. I got involved simply from an invitation from a coworker, someone
right.
else. I was, my career was in the U.S. Coast Guard, and I just retired this last summer.
Okay.
After 30 years. And shortly before that 30-year mark came along, someone else on the base was actually a member of the Rotary Club. And they said, well, you should come on down. And I was captain of a ship at the time. So I kept being wrapped up in my work, and I didn't go initially, but when I finally did, I was very impressed because, again, it wasn't the stereotype I thought. I had this picture in my head from when my grandfather was a Rotarian and I was a young boy.
Okay.
And it was always, as Michelle described, he'd put on his finest suit and go to the expensive lunch. And so I just had this picture, as you were describing, a little bit, or the stereotype in my head. And I found that it's very different. It's people, all aspects of the community, all kinds of different ways that they make their living, different ages. And of course, our club is probably almost more women than men.
60% women.
Yeah. If everyone was in the room, it's more women than men.
Okay.
Which is definitely a positive, I think, because what we do is serve the community mm-hmm. and meet the needs that sometimes aren't being met.
We really rely on the community.
You know, fill those holes where people need help or groups of people need help. And there's nothing happening to assist them.
Okay.
And there's no political things in the way. When Rotarians see a need, they can just mobilize and bring in the help and bring in the funding or whatever we need to do to make things better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know that Rotary has, in some people's minds, two aspects. They're obviously the local, you have a local club, you have... local service aspects, and then there's an international aspect. So perhaps, Michelle, you could talk a little bit about Ketchikan, for example. What are the kinds of things specifically in Ketchikan have Rotarians been involved with recently?
Well, so Ketchikan, both clubs are heavily involved in youth activities. So there's, of course, there's always a number of like scholarship components, but we also run, one of the clubs runs a pantry out of the middle school in Ketchikan, where kids who are underserved, you know, those kids that are going to go home over the weekend and not have a meal all weekend long, they get a backpack full of food to take home. And it's very, it's kind of, I don't want to say under the table, but, you know, it's not embarrassing to the child. It's done kind of very in a classy way. Anyway, so those kids are served. Big on youth exchange. We send kids to other countries every year, and of course those kids come to our community, just like here in the Valley. Youth exchange is a big deal. But we also do other things. And someone asked us here the other day, what do you guys do in Ketchikan? What are your big projects? Well, it seems like our big projects are all recreational construction projects. And I don't know how that worked out over the years, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We rebuilt a local beach that had come in disrepair, and it's the most popular beach in Ketchikan. We regularly have rebuilt pavilions in the local parks that are very popular. Mm-hmm. We built a bridge at one of the local trails that is very popular. And so really, it's the community. Just Ketchikan is so outdoor recreation-centric that those are needs that the community had. However, that's not to say that we don't do other things, because we have two apartments that we keep in Ketchikan, and they're called Rotary House. Well, and so when people have to come in from the neighboring islands for health care, they can stay in those apartments for little or no cost.
That's a very interesting set of projects. Talk a little bit about the larger scale projects. Many people are aware of Rotary's involvement in effort to eliminate polio, for example.
Right.
Other projects that are outside of Ketchikan, or for that matter, outside of Alaska.
Yeah, so there's a number of what we would call global grant type of projects that happen every year. And any club anywhere in the world is eligible to propose a project like that. And then what happens is the clubs will connect with other clubs around the world, and everyone will either make a cash contribution or a people contribution and decide what is really needed. So one project that our district has done very, very successfully over recent years is up in the Fairbanks area. We have a gentleman by the name of Mike Pollan, who is a water expert. And so they have traveled down to Belize for many, many years and basically completely redone the water and sanitation system down there in Belize. And so it's an ongoing type thing.
Right.
I think the big thing that people need to know is that we just don't go in, drop off some equipment in a country and leave, because we all know how that works out, right?
Sure.
A lot of times the equipment will disappear, maybe the money is absconded with. We're looking for sustainable projects that are actually going to do something in the long term for that community to make it better. So that would be one example in our district. Something that we did in Ketchikan in particular is down in South America for several years and also over in Africa, we did a cervical cancer screening clinic and educated literally thousands of women in what are the signs of cervical cancer, why should you be screened, and then literally screened thousands of them. Many of those women walked for days to get to the clinic. And then they would also treat those women that were found to unfortunately have, you know, positive signs.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very interesting. So as I guess the question I have for you here has to do with participation in Rotary. You've alluded to a time past when there might have been a different type of person, I would say, type meaning by in part gender, in part occupation, and age, for that matter. And that today there appears to be, there's been a shift, maybe over the last 20, 30 years, whatever period of 10 years.
No, this year.
This year.
Believe it or not, officially this year, there has been a major paradigm shift.
Okay. Yeah. So just this year.
Just this year. Every 3 years, Rotary's Council on Legislation meets, and they determine on a worldwide basis by a vote. I mean, it's like literally the Rotary Congress, if you will. Mm-hmm. Where should Rotary be moving towards? And so what they decided this year, it was the most progressive meeting ever of the Council on Legislation. And so before, if you were a Rotarian, right, mm-hmm. you had to at least attend 60% of the meetings in person.
I remember
right?
that. Yeah.
And otherwise, you'd get kicked out, depending upon the club. Some were, you know, a little more loosey-goosey about attendance. Others were not.
Right.
And also, you had to be the manager or an owner of your business. So those two things were stricken away this year.
Huh?
The new Rotarian that we would like to have, and quite frankly, I'm a big rule breaker. We've been breaking this rule for wherever I've been, and I've been lived all over the world. But we just want good community-minded people in Rotary. And now it's official. I don't have to break the rules anymore. And then also, you don't have to attend the meetings. If you are going to participate in a project or you're going to go to the meetings or participate in youth exchange or in some other facet of Rotary, that's fine. No longer do we take attendance. And of course, you know, the clubs are autonomous. They can make their own decisions.
Right.
By and large, these two decisions have been very welcoming to most clubs because it really frees the club up to make some decisions that are appropriate for their community.
Associated with that change, I'm wondering about the cost, because I know in the past, for some people, that had been a considerable question. Can I afford to be in Rotary, given what was perhaps the amount of money that flowed out of your pocket in a variety of different ways?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's happened there?
Big changes there, too.
Okay.
I think you're absolutely right. A lot of people found Rotary to be cost prohibitive. If I'm not hungry for lunch or breakfast, why do I have to pay for it? Why do I have to eat it? So many, many clubs have gone to, for example, our club in Ketchikan is a breakfast club. And so you have the option of coffee only.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to drink the coffee. You don't have to pay for the coffee if you don't want the coffee.
Okay.
You know, you have to pay the local administrative dues, and you have to pay the Rotary International dues.
Okay.
Because that kind of keeps the wheel moving, if you will. But many clubs have also instituted husband and wife memberships where the couple will only pay for one membership. A lot of clubs have also instituted what they call a corporate membership. So just like, say, a group at the radio station or, you know, the police department is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
So based on shift work, right, the police department could be a member of Rotary as a corporate entity. And then every week they could send a different police officer to the meeting or to the project or whatever. And if they chose to send two or three, well, then that's great, too. But if the other people who are attending wanted to, say, like, eat breakfast or lunch, of course, they'd have to pay for that meal.
Well, that's fascinating. So we've caught you at the right time. This is a time of change, and you have arrived here to tell us. I suspect many listeners who have either been aware of Rotary from a distance or even have participated, might not have participated recently, have picked up some interesting information here. So you're going to be leaving the studio in a little bit and going out in the, hopefully it'll be a lighter day out there. You'll be going, when you visit a club, what does that mean?
Oh gosh, it's different everywhere. So far I've visited all the clubs in the Southeast. I've visited many of the Anchorage clubs, and now the Valley will be heading up to Fairbanks in December. But literally everywhere you go, the really cool thing about it is you get a true flavor of the community, which I love because I'm going to a lot of places. I've only been in Alaska for 7.5 years.
Okay.
And so I'm going to a lot of places that I've never been to before. So to me, it's fascinating to meet the people, fascinating to see the community and to kind of really get a flavor of the culture. Dave and I did some local shopping right here in Palmer the other day. That was awesome. Met some people.
Okay.
So every club meeting is different. It's the flavor of their club. There's no club that is alike that I've ever seen in all of my travels, not just here in Alaska, but all over the United States and the world. So to answer that question, I can't, because you're going to go to the meeting. They might have a social. We might meet with people like you. We'll go see some projects. We went to my house yesterday.
Right.
That was just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I love that place.
Yeah. Wonderful group of people all in all ways associated with
it. Yeah, them. Doing great things. So it's different. It just depends on what that club would like to showcase and how do we get to know their members and their club better.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mike Malevsky here is part of the morning show, kind of a special interview with Michelle, who's a district governor of Rotary for this district, and Dave, who's come along to as a younger member of Rotary to explain
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. I handle all things vehicular and luggage related. Absolutely. Key role.
Yes. Well, very important. The logistics of things is very, absolutely. Very, very important. Now, I understand, we happen to have a Rotary Exchange student from Brazil here.
I met him yesterday.
Right. He's staying with my daughter and son-in-law.
Oh, fantastic.
Part of their that involvement. And you have a daughter who's been to Brazil?
Correct. Yeah. My oldest daughter went on Rotary Youth Exchange, and she went to Brazil as well.
Oh, okay. Fascinating. All that. Well, I would recommend, listeners, you've heard about Rotary. By all means, there are the Rotary Club right here in Palmer, and, of course, in the Valley we have a number of other Rotary Clubs. And the thing about it is, my observation is that at a variety of service clubs, Rotary is certainly one of them. We obviously have Lions, et cetera, et cetera. That very often the actual work is appreciated by the people who both benefit and may observe something that has changed, but not always drawing the line to who it was that did this. I think it's appropriate. I mean, the club doesn't go along with banners saying, look at us, look at us, look at us. I think you've made that point. But yet it's appropriate, and I hope in this program we've been able to explore how Rotary as a service club is part of the community.
Well, I think in this community, too, it goes without saying that we want to thank the community for their support in big events that happen here, like Rotary Uncorked and other things, the 5K run, all sorts of things that happen right here in the Valley where the community comes out. And whether they know it or not, they're actually helping to fund Rotary's projects. But if I might add one more thing.
Sure.
A great way for someone who might be interested in Rotary is to, if there's a project happening or you know someone in Rotary, show up and help out on the project. It's a great way to test drive Rotary, to get to know the people and say, wow, is this a group of people that I'd like to hang out with and do good things in the community?
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle and Dave, for coming
in
this morning.
Thanks.